Welcome everyone to the Planning Authority meeting for the month of July. Just a reminder that an audio recording of this meeting will be made in accordance with our audio recording of Council and Committee Meetings Policy 7.11. And the audio recording will be made available on Council's website within 7 business days after the conclusion of this meeting. Brighton Council acknowledges the Palawapakana, Tasmanian Aboriginal community, as the traditional and original owners of the skies, land and water of Lutruwita, and for their respects their elders both past and present. Brighton Council acknowledges the continued connection the Tasmanian Aboriginal people still have to the skies, land and water of Lutruwita that provides them with the food, medicine and craft celebrated through ceremony today. Item two is apologies. Councillor Murtagh is not on the Planning Authority meeting, so there's no need to, there are no apologies, everyone is present. Item three is public question time and deputations. The public gallery is empty, so unless there's anything from councillors, we'll move on. Item four is declaration of interest. Does anyone wish to declare an interest in anything on the agenda this evening? No interest has been declared. Item five is Council acting as a planning authority, and in accordance with the provisions of Part 2, Regulation 25 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, the intention of Council to act as a planning authority pursuant to the Land Use Planning Approvals Act 1993 is to be noted. Item 5.1 is a planning scheme amendment for Boyer Road, and we have three people that will do some presentations. We have Brian White, Nitson Taylor and Stephen Holmes. And I might just hand over to those to give us a briefing.
Okay, so thanks everyone for coming along to one of our final meetings for Boyer Road, we hope. So just a really quick summary. So as you're aware, this project came about from the Housing Support Program, federal funding, and so we were successful in a grant to do a precinct structure plan of the site, and Holmes Dyer were awarded that tender, and they've done a fantastic job to get us where we are today, which is to the planning scheme amendment, which includes that area plan. So Holmes Dyer were the author of the report, so I'll just hand over to them to do a brief introduction, and then possibly we can do questions once it's all moved, hopefully. So I'll hand over to Nitson.
And at the practice area plan. So
councillors, I'll open it for any questions of Brian, Nitsan or Stephen. Councillor Della Torre.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My question relates to Precinct D and the permitted land uses within that area, and I note there's some pretty strict guidelines as to what is a permitted use in that space. I'm wondering if we're just a little bit too prescriptive in that space, whether Nitsan maybe can provide some guidance around why we've gone so specific there.
Did you get that, Nitsan?
Yeah, it does.
I could probably add to that.
Thank you.
Nitsan's exactly right with that. Another reason is that the activity seminar strategy talks about in the future with the additional demand, retail demand as a result of Boyer Road developing, Sorrell Street developing, and hopefully Serenity Drive. Maybe gets reviewed in the future, but especially Sorrell Street and Boyer, if they are the additional retail demand caused by that, it recommends that that is mostly put into Old Main Road. So if we revitalise Old Main Road into that vibrant mixed-use centre, which we've seen a bit of coverage about recently, and then the leftover demand from that to be put into Boyer Road. A local grocer. So we'll try to establish like a local centre in Boyer Road that was good enough to serve that immediate catchment that didn't detract from the future of Old Main Road to be the larger centre. So that was another route.
Yeah, I get that. I guess my concern is like business professional services, we've got a list of things that are permitted, but outside of that, it would be discretionary, presumably, and educational and occasional care. It can only be a child care centre rather than any other sort of educational or occasional care.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty typical for a residential estate. I think another reason for that might have been the social infrastructure plan talked a bit about childcare, more childcare being needed. But as I said, it's just trying to be a pretty specific little centre that serves a pretty small catchment. And I suppose from an urban design point of view, we thought that a childcare would work there as well.
I might as well add to the conversation. Under the general residential zone at the moment, education and occasional care is still a discretionary use. It's not a permitted use in any event, so there's probably even a bit more leeway there by allowing the childcare centre as a permitted use.
Okay.
Councillor Rowan.
Just one little query, and correct me if I'm wrong. It says the indicative yield is about 388. And a recent TV announcement by one of the political parties was talking about, I understand, 860.
Is
what's
that correct? A whole precinct in my Boyer. So that's
right. It's just a little bit, a few people come to me and say, hang on, we're talking about 500 more than what they were talking about last week.
Thank you. Councillors, any further questions? Councillor Whelan.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I'm not sure that's a question, a point of clarification, really. We dealt with the West Brighton development, and with public open space, there seemed to be some sort of inequity between some of the owners. Some were, had to provide more open space, some didn't, and we were sort of locked into that. I'm just wondering whether that occurs with this overall plan, and is that something that we look at the subdivision stage, or is it something that we is part of the plan and incorporated now? So that's probably a couple of questions there, sorry. No, that sounds fair. Yeah, thank you.
Just, Stephen, can you also add, just in regards to those waterways or those the overland flow paths in regards to the, I believe there's riparian reserves and distance from those as well? And the additional open space was also, was there any additional open space due to that site views the heritage requirements around, is it GNAP? Councillors, are there any further questions? Councillor Whelan?
I think the last time we had a workshop, the three accesses, there was some sort of inquiry into, was it Aboriginal heritage and site distance or something? Is that that's been sorted at this stage?
There was, just to add to that, there was another heritage report done as well on the cultural. curtilage of the listing being reduced, and also to support the our scheme overlay for the heritage listing being reduced, and that concurred with the that agreed the sight lines were a good idea, and so yeah, so that was the additional work.
Thanks, Brian. Councillors, anything further? Councillor Della Torre.
Just an error that I've noticed in the documentation here under the performance criteria for S13.811, P4, there is a duplication of D and F under that one. I need to remove F.
13.8.11. 11.
Performance criteria P4.
Bear with us a second.
You're right. In our attachments, it's attachment A to D, page 30. Character of surrounding development mentioned twice.
I think that's just been
that.
Is everyone clear on that?
You read what you expect to see.
That's the only one of it.
It'd be a surprise.
There's no issue. No,
I think what you're after, Brian, is the rest will be perfect.
I thought I'd mention it while I was flicking through.
Yeah, thank you.
Councillors?
Just a question. I'm probably off, missed it somewhere. A, B, C and D, you've got a minimum of 250 square metres. How many lots is in there? Because I'd personally find 250 square metres is very small. It's extremely small. For this precinct, when we looked at this years ago, this area from there, from Boyer Road, was supposed to be, if you want to class as an upper echelon, sort of make it a nice area where I find if you get to 250, you're going to end up with, like at Brighton, you've got ghettos in certain areas. Even that's, as far as I'm concerned, that's too many, but still, that's my view. I realise that.
That's fine, but like in old Bridgewater, that part that we're going there, I would have liked to have seen a lot more two-storey and three-storey buildings, because I've just read a report through Australia that there's no way Australia can actually have enough land to keep going for the years to look after all the people there. They're going to have to go into that sort of building. I've travelled all the rest of the world. I'm afraid, they're not doing Broadacre. They're actually filling in with those places because people just can't afford even a 250 or 300 or 400 square block. They have to go into that first before then they can step out of that once they get up in their echelon. So unfortunately, yeah, so that's what I've noticed. That's it. But no, you've actually enlightened me a little bit. Thank you.
Councillor De La Torre.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Just one more from me, and it's probably for our planners here. Just in relation to the tables of site coverage, I noticed the step down in the percentage of site coverage as the lot sizes get larger, and it's 13.10.1. How do they compare to our general planning scheme? I've had some personal concerns around the site coverage of some of the multiple dwelling type applications we've received here. They seem lower to me than some of the others we've seen.
That percentage is taken from a combination of the improving residential design standard report, and I could be wrong, but and from Adelaide SA. So we sort of use a combination of, as Nissan was saying, the medium density guidelines, the improving res standards, and then best practice from SA in coming up with some of these. So I might, Nissan, be able to explain that. But obviously, before she does, site coverage for a lot, if you look at three, what's the small, what's the single lot size in general? 450, yeah, 50%. It's about, yeah, it's about what we have now for general res. Nissan might be able to.
I think it will be beneficial for our scheme in stopping some of those larger multi-dwelling applications where they're cramming as many buildings on the lot as they can. I think it's a wise move. Thank you.
Yeah, just add to that about the design stuff as well. Like we've got we've taken the definition of a design report from the medium density guidelines that just got released by the state government. So a lot of the times here, when you trigger a discretion for townhouses and for multiple dwellings, you're going to be required to submit a design report, and we find that as looking at the context, informed by the context, the site analysis enhances response positively to streetscape, character and residential amenity, and then the purpose of the SAP. And so I think what's lacking at the moment is that teeth, design teeth, and I think if you're going to submit something outlandish, then it just wouldn't, it's just not going to work, because you're going to have to try and justify it about how it's a good design, and a lot of the time they aren't. So it is robust and it is a lot, but I think it's what, but it isn't without precedence. There's one in Devonport very similar to this in terms of some of the typologies and whatnot. it is a bit of a new thing for us to have design standards, but I think it's a good idea for this area.
I think it's on us now to make sure we adhere to those and avoid the situation where we get the character of surrounding development impacting and lowering those standards because we've allowed it for some.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Councillors, anything further? If not, on what is labelled as page 48 of our agenda, I think there's been a few numbers missing off the early part of it, but 48 on the top of the page, there is a recommendation that in accordance with section 40DB of the Land Use Planning Approvals Act 1993, that the Planning Authority of its own motion prepare a draft amendment of an LPS, to be known as the Draft Amendment Rezoning 2025-04, and the reasons below are listed. Is anyone prepared to move that or alternative? Thank you. That's been moved by Councillor Della Torre, seconded by Councillor Irons. Councillor Della Torre.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think we've had conversations about this planning scheme amendment. I think the community has been heard and many changes have been made along the way, and I thank our consultants for their work in addressing those concerns. I think we've struck a good balance between the neighbouring properties and their concerns and the ability for us to build the residential developments that we need, whilst maintaining the ability to throw some commercial in there as well. I think it's a really well-designed plan. I like the way that it can be built in four separate parts and still work. I think a lot of thought and effort has gone into developing the documentation that goes behind that to ensure we get good outcomes. More than happy to move this recommendation.
Thank you. Councillor Irons.
Yeah, so I think it's really exciting. I mean, I still just cannot believe the value of land like that in somewhere like Sydney, you know, is absolutely extraordinary. So I think the future value of this and getting this right, especially for the people who end up buying there, what an investment for them, I think, is huge. Mm. I was very excited as well about the commercial areas. I mean, if we look at those specific things, I'm glad. It's quite specific, personally, because they're the things that are pain points for our community. You know, even the vet clinic one, I mean, poor old guys at Brighton, they're run off their feet. The ones up the road only care about wildlife. So, you know, at the end of the day, we certainly need more vets in the area. More childcare, as we know, is a massive issue. I think it also lets us push a little bit more, especially with those commercial areas, for the old public transport issues and putting up more of a case and more of a fight for that. So, yeah, I thought it was really exciting, and thank you.
Councillors, is there anything further? Thank you. I'll just add before I give Councillor Della Torre an opportunity to close. I'm really impressed by the design, the open space provisions, the sight lines, use of the waterways or the overland flow paths, I think is just brilliant. And to me, it looks like a very attractive subdivision that will be sold at Sydney prices. So to see this developed in that particular way, I think it's going to become a really attractive part. I've been quoted many times at saying that this is now gives us an opportunity to provide future subdivisions and future rezonings a blueprint for how to do it properly. Mm-hmm. So congratulations to our staff. Congratulations to Holmes Dyer on your work. Greatly appreciated, because this, I believe, is a quality rezoning application and local provision schedule, which has been prepared, and I think it's brilliant. So thank you very much. Yep. Councillor Della Torre, opportunity to close.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I won't harp on. I'll thank Councillor Irons and Councillor Gray for their contributions, echo the sentiments, and apologise to our staff for omitting a thanks to you in my initial... Peace.
further ado, I will put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Against? Carried unanimously. Thank you very much. And that concludes our Planning Authority meeting for the month of July. And happy new financial year.